In God's calendar, the day that was called the day of rest was really from Friday night to Saturday night. In other words, the 24-hour period. God's day does not begin at sunrise. It starts at sunset. And a lot of times we think that, you know, what we've lived under, what we've lived with, has been godly. I believe that as the Lord, when he was walking in the earth, was walking among a people that said they knew God, they advertised they knew him, but they really didn't. So they rejected the Son of God because they didn't really know who he was or his purpose coming to the earth. So I want to take you to a part of the covenant that every single Jewish boy and girl would have known. And I think it's important for us to get a clue as to why there is a season set aside for us to celebrate Christ Jesus. It's in Exodus chapter 23. And you need to remember that this is God taking his people out of where they were, which was, they had just come out of Egypt, a land of slavery, and they were coming into a place of freedom, and they were traveling to get there. Just like you and I are traveling on a road of life. We travel daily. Sometimes the road is pretty good, sometimes the road can be pretty scary. Amen? Some days are awesome, some days you wish you never touched or never got out of bed. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 14, it says, three annual festivals. I want you to also kind of make, if you're making notes, you might consider John chapter 7, where Jesus is celebrating the feast. And he's got some unbelieving brothers. And so that is a helpful hint to let you know that, in fact, in the New Testament, they call it the Feast of the Jews rather than the Feasts of God. What's the difference between the Feast of the Jews and the Feast of God, or the Festival of God? One is ordained of God to be done his way. One is ordained of man doing it his way, celebrating according to his tradition. Okay? If I said to you, okay, let's go across the world and let's see if everybody celebrates Christmas on December 25th. And you'd say, wait a minute. I thought it was everywhere the same. No, it's not. Everywhere doesn't have a Santa Claus. There are different traditions in different churches. Some of them observe something in January. So, when I was a boy, Christmas was very little except going to church on Christmas Eve. And we went to a midnight service, and it was an experience that was neat. It was very nice. But the gift season didn't happen until the New Year's Day. There were no gifts at Christmas. It started to happen a little bit in my family, that there was a little bit of gift giving at Christmas. But the major gift giving was done, believe it or not, at New Year's Day. It was a new start, new year, blah, blah, blah. And that's when we had gifts. We also celebrated in home for New Year's. It was a very, very powerful experience for families. Every year we went to my dad's father's house, and all the men and women and children knelt down and received our grandfather, my grandfather's blessing. And he would bless the entire house. And he would bless all the children. That's where I grew up. Now, is it God's celebration of the new year? Or was that our family tradition? It was our family tradition. And it was honored by God. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just trying to tell you that where you were doesn't mean that it was godly or that it was God's way of doing things. What I'm trying to show you now is God's way of doing things. And if you begin this chapter and get to verse 14, you says, verse 14, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me, not to the Jews. To me. Who's he? Jesus. In the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. All three in one. And he says, celebrate the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days and eat bread made without yeast. I command you, do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib. Now, when you look at that calendar, you'll notice that it says at the top, the month of what? April. But in the middle of the calendar, okay, it gets a switch from the month of Nisan, and all of a sudden, you see, I'm sorry, it begins with the month of Adar. I misquoted, forgive me. And then it goes to the month of Nisan, which is on the 6th of the month, which is actually today. Kind of cool, huh? And so, the month of Abib and the month of Nisan are one and the same. Two different names for the same month. It says, for in that month you came out of Egypt. Now, when did you and I come out of Egypt? When you and I chose the Lord as Lord and Savior, we came out of our slavery to sin. We became new creations, and when you said yes to Jesus Christ, you came out of Egypt. Because Egypt represents the sin of the flesh and the fleshy people in the earth. There's plenty of Egypt around. The next part says, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. So now he's telling them, set aside a gift so that I can have it. Now you're not giving to the church when you give a gift to the house of prayer. You're giving unto God. Verse 16 says, celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruit of your crops you sow in your fields. The first fruit of your earnings. You're to give a percentage. Celebrate the feast of ingatherings at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the fields. When is the harvest season for us? Fall. So that's the ingathering feast that's happening in the fall. Verse 17 says, three times a year all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Men represent the man of God, or the male aspect of you. Male or female doesn't matter. Everybody has an emotional side, yes or not? Every woman has an emotional side, every man has an emotional side. The male part of you is your spirit man. So that might help to understand. Verse 18, do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of my festival offering must not be kept until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God, and do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. God's angel to prepare the way. Here's one of the very first promises that's going to take place when you celebrate the feast. Verse 20 says, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. God has prepared this place for us this year. Last year we were in a different place. Where will we be next year? That's up to him, not up to you and me. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Why should we listen to the angel that God sends? Because he's got a message for us. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. Now, I wonder who that angel is. Could it be the angel of the Lord? Could that be Jesus before he actually came into birth, into his mother's womb? You better think about it. since my name is in him. That should give you a clue who he is. The angel of the Lord is really the Son of God in spirit form before he had earthly body. Verse 22. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies. Oh, what an awesome promise. I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Whoa. Wouldn't you like to have these angels on your side? Huh? Verse 23 says, my angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. What? Do we have any of these ites around us? Yeah, do you ever have an irritated person or an irritating person, an irritating boss or an irritating co-worker around you? Yeah, who's going to take care? If you take care of him and do the Passover feast according to instructions, he will take care of your enemies. Verse 24, do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. In other words, don't join the enemy. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water, and I will take, what? My Bible says I will take away sickness. I will take away what? Sickness. How many of you had a few bouts with sickness in the past few months? Thank you. Who are you to depend on to take care of it now? God. You can remind him, I took time for you. I gave you my best. I put my percentage that I was pressed of you to give to you for this feast. Prepare. That's my word to you. Prepare. And when he tells you give, give. You say, but Kim, I say, but God is in charge, not me. Okay? I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full life span. I will give you a what?
Full life span.
You want to live? You want to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? I got them. It's awesome. It's awesome, but I can tell you this, many in my family never lived to my age. Never did they get to see their grandchildren. Why? Because they chose to live in Egypt. They chose to live the sinful life. They chose to do it their way. It's up to them. What are you doing here today? Why did you come here today? Because you're looking to God and you're looking to me to give you his word. I'm giving you his word. I'm telling you, wake up. I'm telling you, put something aside. I'm telling you, take time. I'm telling you that we will have guests that will be coming with a word from the Lord. I'm telling you that there's opposition against them. And against you and against me. Why? Because the enemy wants to stop me, and he wants to stop you from observing these godly feasts that were ordained of him. Yes, God said, take this time, not me. And when this was pounded into me by a friend of mine that I didn't particularly have to get happy about, that's when I told you last Sunday that Donald was the instrument God used to wake me up. Stop doing it the way that you've done it all your life. Do it God's way. Take God's word and do what he says. It's not so hard. But it is hard. Because we're stubborn. Oh, excuse me. I'm stubborn. You guys aren't.
No, we...
You're under construction, I hope. Verse 27. Well, let's back it up. 25. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, and I will take away sickness from among you. And none will miscarry or be barren of in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you. Listen to this. Listen to this. When I was reading that again this morning, I said, God, this is so cool. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Right? It says, God gave you power, love, and a sound mind. But does God have an ability to send the spirit of fear to the ungodly? Can he let them shake in their boots? That's what he says he's going to do. Who's in charge of the demon of spirit of fear? Who's in charge of the demon spirit of fear? Okay, no, it says God is. Because see, God will send, right? I will send my terror ahead of you. Throw into confusion every nation you encounter. So who sends the spirit ahead? God does. Who sent the angel of death into Egypt? God did. And when the angel of death saw the blood, he saw the blood of Calvary. And therefore he didn't and could not go into that house and destroy the firstborn of that house. But every single house that did not have the blood of the Lamb on its doorpost, he was able to go in, and here was what? No obstruction. How many of you have ever prayed over your house? How many of you have ever asked the Lord to put the blood on the doorposts of your house? How many of you have ever walked around your house praying in the Holy Ghost, reminding the enemy, get out of the way? You know why I'm saying that to you? Because it was a testimony, and I'd like for my sister to kind of share that testimony right now. Would you mind? Please stand, please. Because I think it's important, not just for us, but whoever's listening to this message.
This past week, there was quite a ruckus with my husband due to some circumstances, and he'd come home after doing some business that we had to do, and when I came back in the door, I could just feel the tension even mounting even more than the car ride, and he left to run an errand on his own, and I just really felt the Lord was leading me to do some serious praying, of which I had been doing all the way home silently. But I put on my favorite praise and worship CD and started speaking out loud, or literally shouting out loud, peace in the storm, and speaking it over and over again, and praying in the spirit. And I started to just call blessings down into every corner of every room of the house. His peace. I started quoting some of my favorite scriptures about covering in the blood. And a prayer that has become a favorite prayer and declaration that I learned from Darlene Check, who is the worship leader for Hillsong. And it is, atmosphere, be filled with what you were created to be filled with, the praise and worship of God. And, I mean, I started feeling so much better. The peace was coming into me. And by the time my husband got home, which he was gone literally for a good hour, and it normally wouldn't take him that long to do what he had to do. So I knew it was the Lord. And I just give him the glory, because there still is that underlying thing in the house a bit, but there has been a peace in me and a stronger feeling in me, because of the Lord's faithfulness in speaking forth His word in my house. And praise God. I believe in speaking out loud the word of God.
Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. So even if the terror was coming, and even if the terror was trying to enter you, you decided to respond with God's truth. And you declared the word. And that's what's exciting. You need to be aware that you have abilities when you activate your mouth. Now, activate your feet, your mouth, your whole body. She pointed out, she put up a CD. Well, music is a mighty gift that you have available to you. Use it. So again, God will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornets ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and wild animals too numerous for you. Verse 30, you better put a circle on. Verse 30 is very important, because even now, this is a process that God is doing. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increase enough to take possession of your land. In the Bible, it doesn't say your land, but it's my Bible. I have a right to put what I believe he's talking about. He's wanting me to own this land. So put your hand over your heart. Say, this is the heart that God gave me. And I can let in whatever I want. And God wants my heart to be free. But he does it a little at a time. And I need to be patient with me. And I'll promise to be patient with you, neighbor. Will you be patient with me? How many had a little whoop in the back done? Especially being patient with your neighbor. Being patient with yourself? Well, yeah, I will, but the neighbor? I want him to be perfect yesterday. How many want their neighbor to be perfect yesterday? Yeah! Before yesterday. The day before. Well, according to this word, it says, little by little, I will drive. Little by little, I will drive. Get a clue. If you take seriously his word and his promise of the Passover feast, he will do this a little bit at a time. Verse 31, I will establish your borders from the sea, from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert to the rivers, and I will hand over to you the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. Because the worship of their God will certainly be a snare to you. Now, how does that apply to me today? Let's say that there's an X-rated movie playing, and you decide to listen to it and watch it. What are you doing? You're submitting yourself to Egypt. When you submit yourself to Egypt, expect some results. When you choose to shut it down, you're going to have a war with your flesh. Oh no. I have war with my flesh. You guys never have war with yours, that's fine. But I've had war with mine because, again, the flesh wants to do it its way. The spirit man, the real man of God, the real man, the real person who you are, is your spirit being within you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says you're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Three identical, beautiful parts like God. working together to bring you to harmony with Him and with His creation. I want to remind you again, if you take time and are serious with this feast, you'll be serious with your enemies. You'll be serious with your sickness and diseases. And little by little, you'll see a change and a turnaround in your body. You'll see a turnaround and a change in your family. You'll be a serious change in your emotions. I've seen it over and over and over. Now, why is God so pressured to get us back into this feast? As I listened to a program not too long ago, there was a rabbi speaking, and his comments were these. He said, remember David had 5 little stones. Does anybody know what those 5 little stones represent? He was facing Goliath. Well, number 5 does. But I never connected it to what the Jewish rabbi did. He said they represent the first 5 books of the Bible. The promises of God were in his hand. And all he needed was 1. And that was awesome to me. Then he gave us another little ditty to kind of think about. You know, these little tiny ditties that come and they really make you think. Wasn't there a little boy with 5 loaves? Mm-hmm. Isn't this the living bread? Mm-hmm. Your word of God is the living bread. The first 5 books represent the 5 loaves. But that was cool. Mm-hmm. If I remember right, there were 10 bridesmaids. Amen? There were 5 that were... Yep. And there were 5 that were... Uh-huh. The 5 wise ones used the word of the first 5 books of your Bible. The unwise did it their way. Why? Isn't that awesome? And as I reflected on that, I said, ooh, Lord, this is cool. This is really, really cool because, you see, he also made another comment. He said, do you know that most countries where there is freedom, the Jewish people have the finances to control a great deal of what's happening? Did you ever wonder why God blesses them? Because they observe the feast. He says, we not only do the talk, we do the walk. He says, you guys can teach us how to praise, but we can teach you how to make money. And how to hold on to money. And how to work coordinately. And how did we do it? Because we learned the first 5 books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch. I don't know if I pronounce it right, but get a clue. Why is it important for us to take time for the feast? Because God said so. You want to do it your way? Have a party. If you want to do it His way, you'll get His blessings and you'll get His protection and He'll give you a long life and He will take care of that which you can't do yourself. And He will cause fear to come upon your enemy. And they will definitely be instruments that will torment you. Oh, God. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has a few enemies that torment me. Take the hand of your neighbor. Say, Lord Jesus, we're thanking you now that by your Holy Spirit, you will impress me with what you want out of this feast, which starts very soon. I'm asking you for grace and the willingness to obey with the commissions you give me. Because I'm serious.
Because I'm serious.
About getting free.
About getting free.
From sickness and disease.
Sickness and disease.
And I want a long life.
And I want a long life.
And I want to get rid of the enemies.
And I want to get rid of the enemies.
So Lord.
So Lord.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Counsel me.
Counsel me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Give me something that I can hold on to.
Give me something that I can hold on to.
So that I'll know that I know that I know that it's you.
So that I'll know that I know that I know that.
I don't want to be half cooked on this.
I don't want to be half cooked on this.
I want to be convinced by you.
I want to be convinced by you.
Because this is a feast of obedience.
Because this is a feast of obedience.
So give me the grace to obey.
So give me the grace to obey.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.
Amen.
Amen.